But I meant the just the fire business is
just getting things ready and doing the cooking. Waiting on them, it was my job, with never any responsibility of turning out a product that was terrible.
What you learned to do over the years.
Of course, now one has a refrigerator right at their hand with their eggs and their butter and their milk and everything in it to use. At that time, we had a big farmhouse. Each room had a special cellar under it.
Each room?
Each room had a special cellar. I don't know if that was the custom with all farmhouses or not, but under the kitchen was the, put the milk and put it on the floors in big pans, eight quart pans, I guess they were, and waited for the cream to come at the top. Skim that off and put it in a jar to make butter eventually, or to use on the table. That was one of my jobs. Never making the butter, never having the responsibility of anything of that sort, but get it ready. Skim it, skim that cream, came off in beautiful big globs of yellow cream. And then the churning, of course. And if whatever it was being made, it was my job to do the waiting on, run down cellar and get this.
You were the legs.
I was the legs, and most uninteresting, no responsibility to do anything. When that was done, I was free to amuse myself.
But you had a place of storage under each room?
Under each room. Then
with different temperatures, or?
No, I don't know.
I wonder why.
Each, perhaps it was foundation-wise a good thing, I don't know. But the back cellar under the way back, very damp and very, very cold. And that's where we stored vegetables. But then the next one had just lard and all those things put away on shelves.
You had a spring house, of course.
We never used the spring.
You never had it, even in the summer?
Even in the summer. We did have a partnership ice house, which if we were having anything special, we got ice from that funny old ice container. But that was only for special times, special.
You mean, when you say a partnership, did you mean?
The next farm.
And then you cut it from the river
or something? From the pools.
From the pools around,
And my father helped with his men and his horses to build the ice house. And then we went and got down. It was Jesse Bell at that time. It's Kildonia School now.
Oh, is that where they lived?
Where they had the ice house. The next door.
And your next house was your house.
Yes.
The next house
above us. We lived. So both the two families worked on the ice together. But the spoke of getting the fire ready. A quick fire was gotten by the current house. And then it would be one of the slow oven. Like an angel gate, you had to know how to regulate that oven, so, none of which was anything that I had to do with except bring, see if it was proper stuff for up here. We had a little Indian boy working for us for years. They changed. An older one helped with the farm things. A younger one to wait on, dig potatoes and wait on the family. He and I did the selection of woods and being the great big wood box in the corner of the kitchen. But when all these cooking things were done, I could do as I pleased. My father had no sons.
Just the two of you?
Just the two. Mm-hmm. A brother died.
Right.
So, all the little things I have found to do as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the barn, every inch of it. And, yeah. It was, I was good help.
Yeah.
Because I could be standing with a hole on the horse's back. Back barn fields or something, or
bring in the cows.
Oh, I'm bringing the cows.
I always loved that when I went with my cousin.
Mm.
And this girl at the end of the day.
A big shepherd dog, and I brought the cows. Of course, I learned to milk. That's in case of shortage of milk helpers. I was pressed into the service where an old brindle cow gave milk very easily, and that was the one we all learned on. Everybody that came around that didn't know how to milk learned how on this old brindle cow, because all you had to do was
I never was able to do, yeah.
That was when father and mother had gone away Sunday afternoon, grandpa and grandmother were taking care of my sister, dealing with the household. When the time came for the help to come in and do the milking, they weren't there. There was nobody to milk the cows. And so grandfather and grandmother had that. The cows had to be milked at the proper time.
Yeah.
Grandfather and grandmother milked. Sister said, "Now, Emma, that's the last. We've got to learn how to milk." And grandfather and grandmother said, "Never milk again here out here." They were elderly.
Yeah.
At that time, elderly. I don't know how old they were, but I imagine they were
probably in their 50s.
We thought they were very elderly, and they could never be allowed to milk again. So we learned to milk. We didn't have to at that time, but we did learn, so we could do it if we had to. That was my beginning of learning how to milk.
Was there a sort of a usual number of cows that a family would have?
Oh, I don't know. We had them. Usually 10 or 12.
Yeah. And I was trying to think what we had out in Ohio. It was about that.
It was a nice little group of cows.
And you used all the products just for your own living?
Yes.
You didn't sell any?
Oh, there was always time when you sold it. We had what they called a commission man. Went to Philadelphia, I guess. But he took from all the farmers in the neighborhood, if they had anything. I remember so well, we had squabs, pigeons. And that was one of my jobs, too. Which I loved, to watch when the pigeons had their nests, and when the squabs were... When the young pigeons or squabs were ready to kill, they didn't take long before. When they were ready, they flew.
Uh-huh.
And then they were.
Oh, you didn't have them in cages?
No, we didn't have them in cages. Uh-huh. They were just wild, all over the barn and everything. Mm. But they were. And that was one of my jobs, to help father pick these squabs. And I found an old diary the other day. Mother always kept a very strict diary. What was sold, and what was bought, and what we paid for them. And she, every once in a while, would be an entry of squabs. 25 cents a pair.
A squab?
A pair.
Boy.
Everything was in proportion.
Yeah.
25 cents. Yeah. 5 cents for a loaf of bread.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
Little Vienna loaves, my sister and I did a door with a little knob at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I said hello, but we didn't often get them because they were too expensive.
Yeah. Made your own bread.
Your own bread, but once in a while you get out, you just love that bread.
Yeah.
So it was the same way with squabs. Now I suppose they're $1.50 a piece, possibly. I would keep track of them, and they rested around the barn.
Yes, I know.
Fragile little nests. Mm-hmm. Two eggs before getting there. Mm-hmm. And with my job, you watch when they were ready to leave.
They'd only know it.
It was a cruel way of doing it, but Father would hang them by one or two legs and
cut their neck
with a sharp knife, cut their neck.
The vein.
Yeah. And you had to pick them while they were still kicking, because the feathers came out so much.
Oh, yes, while they're still warm.
While they're fluttering. Mm.
Is that so? I think that's with the chicken too. No, I don't know with the chicken. As I recall, my aunt put it in hot water or something.
Yes, that's then the feathers. But that with a tender swab, I guess that would pull it.
Yeah.
Would break the skin.
Yeah.
Young bird.
Yeah. If you pick the feathers while they were still fluttering. They came out very easily, and there's nothing left. Very fine, little down, which was all right. So that was my job after that. And that was the kind of thing. And in the early spring, it was always potatoes to scrape, potatoes to dig. This was an Indian boy would dig the potatoes, and then I'd help scrape.
Well, now, when you say in the early spring, when did you we plant potatoes too? When did you get the crop, or did you keep them in the ground all winter?
No, they were planted in the spring.
Planted in the spring,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, I see. And then you cut them.
Started out with very little potatoes as soon as they were able, because the old ones were sprouted and not too good.
Yeah.
But the little ones, okay, but they. That time we thought they had to be scraped. Now you eat those skins.
Oh,
good.
Yes.
And potatoes was the must of a meal at that time.
One or two meals?
Always for dinner, fried for supper. Mm-hmm. We had dinner at noon. Mm-hmm. And that, if you had potatoes and some sort of meat, other things, fit it in. But everything came from our own cellar. Mm-hmm. Once a week, toward the last of the time, I remember, a butcher came along. A traveling butcher, lived in Lumberville. He bought me fresh meat would only keep for a couple of days, and then we had to sort to hams, which we got so tired.
Did you smoke your own, or did you?
Smoke our own, yes. We had a beautiful smokehouse. And then they did, after they were smoked, and the dried beef was salted and put up to drain. They were hung for a certain length of time from the kitchen rafters to dry.
The hams. Yeah, but now the beef, when you say, mm-hmm. Now when did you usually do your slaughtering? Was it in the...
That was in the winter.
In the winter. That was a winter
that
time...
Didn't
interfere with
the dried beefs and all those things. Chines and...
Salted
beef.
I'd call it dried. Well, I don't know.
It had the name.
Yeah, probably wouldn't know it.
Yes, you wouldn't know it. The chimes and all those things were put in. Were kept in the brine.
Oh, kept in the brine?
In the brine.
Until you were ready to use it? But not the heart and that sort of thing.
No.
No.
But all the
hocks and
all those things were put in brine.
But not now. Say, what about a roast beef, like a pot roast? Would that be put in brine?
No, that was. I guess that was probably put in brine too. I don't know about that.
You never canned it.
No, we never canned it. Of course, the pork was all smoked or salted. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know you can have salted pork loin. Or smoked pork loin.
It's not saltpeter, but
oh.
You know what I
You mean that they make the brine out of?
It's a kind of meat. It's your beef that you have down in salt. You buy it now, but it's quite expensive and quite a luxury. Oh, and Martin.
Oh, I
guess. Isn't that funny? I haven't had salt, and you boil it.
Oh, I know. Corned beef.
Corned beef, yes.
Corned beef, yeah.
And that was one of the things we had by the barrel.
Oh, and you just kept it in that
kept
brine.
Kept it in the brine when you wanted it, you took it out.
Yeah, of course.
That never spoiled.
That lasted all winter long?
All winter long. All summer long.
As long as you kept it?
All summer long. You made your brine, I can see, Father, yet, making the brine out of a certain kind of heavy salt. And when put in an egg and it floated,
yeah,
it was ready to put the beef in.
That's
strong enough. Not the beef. Big beef, it, I was into that stuff down in the cellar when we had company come in unexpectedly and had to serve this ham or salt and
corned beef.
Sister and I made all sorts of apologies to ourselves and to them. They loved it because they didn't have it in there.
Good smoked cut ham too, ham.
Couldn't be beaten.
No, but I know what you mean. It's something you can get tired of.
Then it was just a question of eating it, serving it.
And we didn't have, now with lambs, you must have had, did you have lambs?
We had lambs, not often.
Your farm didn't have lambs?
Farms.
Yeah.
We had a beautiful sheep pen. The farm in the house, the barn, was built the year I was born.
Oh.
And it was very, very lovely at that time. Everything was convenient and fresh and new. And there was this very nice sheep pen. I have no recollection of eating the lambs at all. I suppose we did eat them, but I don't remember anything about how that was preserved or how.
When they slaughtered, then you say that was a wintertime thing. That was after. It didn't make any difference how old the animal. It had to. Well, I suppose the cycle would be just that.
Yeah.
There
was always a steer raised for beef.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's always a steer butchered on the farm. Old Miles Johnson was a butcher for years.
And he'd come around and do the from farm to farm like the shoers, horse shoers.
And the pigs. And they brought their great big boiler.
Yeah.
Plunged the dead, freshly dead pigs in. Then they got them out. Hung them up, scraped. And that was a day's work, 2 days' work, three, because all those things had to be the pigs' legs and feet, pigs.
Which
are now adults.
Yeah.
My father loved them, but they were all for me.
Yeah. Well, I think that all the children are repulsed about that sort of thing.
But if anybody ever did eat them now, you could buy them tomorrow. But preparing them as they were prepared at that time, they were soaked in salt water. And every other day, the salt water was changed. And pig's feet were scraped. The pig's legs were scraped.
Every day?
Well,
I mean, every time you changed the water?
For a week or two.
Oh.
In the salt water. Then you scrape the little pigments.
Yeah. Was that your job too?
No, that was Mother's. I don't think she would have trusted anybody to take those hairs off the pigs. Bristles.
Yeah, bristles. Yeah. So that's why they kept soaking it, soaking just it. Gradually getting those
getting
things off. Oh.
With a very dull, big knife, you scrape those off with that fresh salt water. Yes, they'll have it until they were practically done, and then they were boiled, and the meat all came off of the bones. Mm. It was one part of it that was very delicious. It was always the lean that bothered us, like this is one of my favorite peppers. The lean of a hock is very tasty, very good.
I understand that. And the way they're cooked too, it's like a little sweet morsel. Like there's a part in the chicken's back that is very, or the sweetness of a wing, though it's hard to get to, there is a little difference.
That's good. And with one of the jobs, to go back to the things I had to do, to get things ready. One of the things I love, we have a great many cherry trees, black cherries, honey cherries. And they grew without spraying and without. There was never any thought of, oh, you'd find a wormy one, and
yeah.
If you got the worm in your mouth, spit it out, and you were fortunate. But that was the job, to pick the cherries for June. And we get it. Great big cherry tree. First thing you build up on with the biggest cherries you can see.
Especially those black ones.
Big black cherries.
Oh boy.
Gorgeous big white ones.
Oh, I love it. You don't see those anymore.
No, you don't see them.
We planted a tree, but it didn't grow.
And it had to have sprayed it. You never.
Well, we don't spray ours, but.
But then they weren't. But there was never anything sprayed on that one. Kitchen garden. It was done by plowing.
Mm-hmm.
Potatoes in the middle, and then rows of sickle pears and bell pears. They were the first ones.
Oh.
And when I get up in the tree, they pick these cherries out, practically half. There was nothing else to do but observe the world and stuff cherries. Then my job, of course, was to pit. Sister and I would pit. Mother always made the cherry pies.
Would you pit them by hand, or I have a little cherry pitter,
well,
that squashes them.
That squashes them. Yes, I have one up in the attic still. They had to be small cherries, a little honey cherries, to be really good. If we were going to dry them, we use that. For ordinary things, because they were squished.
Do you can? Did you can any? Just plain can them.
Can. Oh yes.
You did.
Can. Closet. Nothing in but canned fruits. Because that's our desserts all through the year. And she would always. Sister would always be. Take out same size plate. She would always. I couldn't understand it. Candy always gets undone before I do. When I pick one up, hit it. I have my eye on the next one. And I don't joke sorting around. I don't know why that always stuck in my mind. That's a good motto.
It is.
For anything you have your
have
your eye on the next one.
Or your mind on what you're going to do. What the next thing you're going to do.
Always.
Isn't that wonderful? And then you said you dried
cherries. That was the day's all family job then. Everybody worked.
The men too?
Bobby had to. We did it in an outside oven.
Oh, in an outside oven?
It was attached to the kitchen, but it was all outside of the house. And this great big oval oven from the kitchen, you could put the wood in. Certain kind of wood, I don't know what that that made it. Hickory smoked for ham, of course.
Yes.
Hickory.
I was going to ask you, talking about wood, in that you said for a slow fire, the angel food, now, and you and the Indian boy went out to get wood, would you really Then you would sometimes would have to choose. Did you have it separated to that extent?
So you could. I don't know. Father had. Mother used to say you could always tell a good farmer by his woodpile.
Yeah.
And because it was stocked up in the fall. He was thrifty, and Father had. That was a woodshed. It was completely filled with firelight, stove leg wood. The kind of perfectly dry.
But not necessarily separated according to kinds of wood.
No, not kinds, but
you said in that they were in the drying of the cherries outside.
The cherry, the father would fix a big fire, I guess, at night. I don't know when that was done, but it would in the stuff.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, grandmother had the cherries pitted and ready. All that, everything would be drawn out through the side door. All the old ashes, but just leaving enough to keep the oven warm, not hot. There was no blaze in it.
Just that you really heated up the stove.
Yes, heated up the
heavy,
big stone thing.
Oh, it was stone.
Stone dome.
The stone. Oh.
And you've seen those old stone domes, where they open a door. And,
yeah, but I never really realized
that everything is drawn out with this terrific heat.
Yeah.
Side views there, things. Big, great, big shovels, flat shovels. Slide these containers back. In a day, that heat, taking it, opening it up once or twice, like an hour, an hour. Father would pull them out, and Mother would stir them, put them back again, so they would. After they were dried.
Then just to put them
then
on.
Then put them on.
So that was to keep them from molding.
Then there came a time when they were. You put them in bags, put the bags in a big tin can, and they were
good.
They
were good.
Sucker.
And you tried, did your corn. But most of your work, most of your canning was done with the jars.
Corn, beans, of course, we always, beans, I have beans, like to see.
Oh, yeah.
They had to be stuffed all kinds of things. Could possibly rise and save.
And as far as chickens were concerned, there again, you had mostly enough for your own family.
Yeah, and eggs to sell. There's 12 cents a dozen for eggs.
Yeah.
then the commission man took them. But then to buy a pound of sugar.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Did
and
much come up?
Raised turkeys, of course. She always had 4 or 5 turkey hens. One gobbler. And they were free to do as they pleased all summer long. Steal their nests. Get a woodlot in front of the house, woodland all around, rapidly. Never go on a chicken nest today. They love to wander off and steal their nest. And that was one of my nicest jobs because they would go to this woods and under a brush pile they would find some sneak in and lay their eggs. And they had a trick of covering them up with leaves, but they never did a very good job. And the crows would watch. The crows sat on the tree and I sat on the ground.
Turkey hardly had a chance.
It was which one got there first. So that was it. I could see this turkey leave the beaver brothers and sisters, or brother and sisters. And sneak along the woods and go behind you. Think about where a nest was. And then you'd wait around, use yourself very quickly.
a year?
15 a year. Fifteen or sixteen, something like that.
Not any better. Yeah, would it be in the spring of the year?
Yes, in the spring. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it would be so early that there would be snow on the ground. That's a big attractive.
Then they would grow big enough for us to think of them as a Thanksgiving turkey.
Thanksgiving turkey. And it was, you'd take it out, and you always had to leave a china egg in the nest. They like to have an egg.
Yeah.
But it was great fun to amuse myself while I was watching the turkey.
Was like a game?
Yeah. Sometimes they didn't take very long to wait.
Yeah.
That were five, usually five, four or five, something would happen. We didn't have as many, but that would be. I could see them yet, those eggs, they were red marked and speckled.
Yeah.
Well, they had a very large coming in the living room one side. On the floor, she had a blanket in the box. And these turkey eggs were very carefully laid on that so they didn't get too cold and didn't get too hot. Not necessarily her own eggs.
No, no.
Something like that. But she got 13 or 15 of these eggs, and she sat on them for 4 weeks. And you had to open her up once every 2 or 3 days and let her come off, get her free, and then get she saw it, put her back in the nest.
You mean that she, but she would sit, and this is in your.
Not in the house.
No. But, oh, I see. You'd hold them. You'd keep them warm, and then you'd have her sit on them.
She would come to the house. She would sit on her nest.
You'd make a nest someplace for her.
A nest for her.
And then you'd have
her bring your old chicken coop.
And she couldn't get out.
She couldn't get out.
So she had to sit in it. And then she would sit there for.
But she would have to be let off.
Sure.
And there was water just outside her pen that she could reach out for water.
Did you feed her?
Better than
so that
she was very comfortable being taken care of.
Now, then she sat until they came hatched?
Until they hatched, and then she was put in a runway for 3 or 4 days. So that they got accustomed to the chickens come out. They got very dainty food. Cheese was that they mother named curds. They had much pepper.
Not much pepper.
Well, I don't know if that was necessary. Mother always was almost black.
Oh, for heaven.
And instead of turkeys, mother got corn. Cracked corn.
Yeah.
Corn. But the little ones pecked away at this.
I see.
Years. Have changed things so completely. Of course, that's what you make cottage cheese out of now. And Mother had taken me unusual. I don't know how she happened to do it, but she had gone to call on some old friends of the family, the Armitage sisters. I didn't see them yet. The old maids. Very, very nice. Very, very lovely. They lived on their market place for the turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
And they were cousins and mothers, and every so often she would go to call on the state affair. They would serve. That's why these little tiny plates came in.
Oh.
China plates.
Oh,
would,
yeah.
They would get be served. These lovely china plates. One of the things would be very often cottage cheese. And when they came around, turkey food.
Ah!
Well, that's pretty new now.
Yeah.
I don't
leave it to
that,
the children.
But that was told.
Yeah. I bet you did say it too.
Well,
yeah.
Of course I did. No,
that was
no
a typical man. Child remark.
Turkey food. That was another job that I always did.
Oh, what fun.
No, it wasn't far.
Of course they didn't.
They got gaps, you know, but you can see them. We don't have gaps today.
Yeah.
Children, their chickens, the baby chickens are raised on ground.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And they pick up these worms. They call them gaps, they take them out.
Oh.
And finally, if you didn't get that worm out,
oh, and you had to do that?
Well, I never was successful. It took a horse,
that picker?
No, a horse hair from the tail.
Yeah.
And twist it, put it down the baby the chicken's throat, wind it around, catch that little worm down there, get it out.
Well, that would be pretty.
It was nasty.
Yeah.
It was a nasty job. I never was successful. Oh. And I used to try it, and they would die in my hands because you choke them. My father could do it because the little one little hair,
the horse's
tail, and put it down there, and out come the worm. So that was one of my jobs, always to feed the baby chickens properly.
I know, I remember Mother saying that they were hard to raise, and I think it's probably because they ran free. Yeah.
They
get a lot of diseases and stuff.
And the turkeys would very tender. They never got gaps out of that ball. They were in there, and there, and there, and there.
Oh.
And you could possibly keep them under the mother in the coop. Sort of a shower came up while they were very small. The mother and the babies were hustled into a dry coop.
They're kind of a strange bird. They frighten easily, too.
Yes.
They're slightly sheep, I guess.
And they would wander off the goblin. And they went as a family, all the turkeys kept together. Mm-hmm. They never associated the chickens. But they would wander. I don't know why they had everything keep on the farm, but they would go over to John, now Darren Nicola's.
Yeah.
John Bowie's. And John Bowie was sort of a peculiar man. He didn't like other people's things coming to feed on
out of his field?
His field, his. So he would immediately come over to Mother. Your turkeys are on my land. They're eating with my chicken food. So, after school, through vacation, Mother's job always to take care of the turkey. We would go for the leverage walks. Over to John Boone used to pick up our turkeys. The switches we would
have to. I was going to say, how do you get them home? You had to herd them home.
The Witch of Ender.
Yeah.
Without turkeys.
Well, now your father, he farmed. He
was a dirt farmer. But really, he took regularly. The cow would thrive himself. It was either own or drive. That was my father. It was on the old Blackburn place. It's all very cousin. But he was not a real dirt farmer. He had enough money to hire his farming done, and see what was going on, but never to direct. But Father Cloud harvested.
And you did, and you plowed behind the horse.
The plow behind the horse, that's right.
I don't know.
Two-horse plow. And when the hay came, mowing, that was the only one.
Yeah,
but right. Then when they put it in the barns, my days were made up because I had to drive a horse. We always drove a horse to take the hay and hay up to the mow.
Yeah, I remember that. The threshers. And they had a group that would come and help them, right?
Yeah. But we always had
neighbors.
No, we had plenty of hired help.
Oh, you had hired help that did it.
They weren't always very satisfactory. And we boarded the blacksmith.
All the time you had?
We always boarded our hired help. And we had Indian help for a long time. They lived with us. But we never kept them as a family. They were fed and stand here bedding and so on.
They live in the same house?
Yes, they lived in the same house. They had the in one day and she said, there's a very curious smell. I think you could leave it to
her. Yeah.
She wasn't very
Yeah, they have to burn everything.
Oh, yeah. The wooden sticks.
Yeah, slabs.
Slabs. Were soaked in kerosene.
Yeah.
But the
but all your bedding.
Yeah.
I know Mother found those in my grandfather's room when he was a widower and gotten older. Lived with the farm. He lived in the farmhouse, but he had his own, you know, and old men aren't very careful. That he just, we just tossed it out the window.
They were good. But of course, I knew that time. No,
but they do have an odor.
Oh, there was an odor. And my mother knew there was something wrong. But, and they never got anywhere else in the house.
Well, you kept the rest of the place fairly clean. And then you kept yourself fairly clean.
Yes.
I was as clean as you can at that point.
And I never wasted any time in those rooms.
Did they have tubs then? Because I noticed in this at the Perry house, there's a little tin tub. My goodness, you'd have to be awfully small to get in it.
Well, possibly it was a foot tub.
No, well, it was about as long as this, though. It's a big one. And then, but not.
Perry, I bet you carried your water up to it.
Oh, yeah, yes.
You did water.
Yeah. But, I mean, you didn't really have tubs, did you? Or you didn't,
no,
did you have?
We didn't have tubs.
Everything had to be a sponge type of bath.
And it was cold upstairs, too.
Yeah.
We had the living room and the bar. We had stoves, winter stoves. Pipe went up to the bedroom.
And it'd get a little bit of...
It was quite warm, quite comfortable. You have to be very well. We'd stand over that and our nightgowns go out.
Yeah, and then run for a bed.
Yeah. It was in Father and Mother's room, and our room was just off. The rest of the house had stays, except for the
kitchen. Yeah.
But there was no water pipes to freeze,
no.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing to happen. It just was cold. Big clothes
weren't going to sleep. Well, I didn't want to wear your voice out. That's fascinating.
You think there's nothing to tell. Then you get,
oh,
I have to realize it.
So much. It's really interesting.
Of course, one of the nice things about being freelance and no responsibility and planning. Spring, on the creek, catch tadpoles.
Oh, yeah.
Watch their tails run off, their little legs come out.
Yeah. Okay, and then bring a few home to watch them go through their metaphor. That is fascinating. I remember we had a tank at school, and I was in, that was a fascinating thing because it happened fairly quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Tail. I don't know whether the little legs come first and the tail runs off first. I can't remember that, but that happens simultaneously.
Yeah.
The little tails run.
Most farms had creeks, didn't they?
Yes, yes. We had a lovely creek. And the pigs would, the creek ran through the end of their run. So
you always placed your
Your pig pen ran down to the creek.
Oh.
I guess everybody, I don't know.
That was for them to get their own water.
The pigs, which are the dumbest things that ever were born, would buy it, that we put in my jobs, to take them to the orchard in the summertime, where they kept it, where they gathered up the apples. Fat enough on apples.
Yeah. Makes good sweet pork.
That's right. First, the apples had to be picked up.
Yeah.
Apples. Townsend's.
Yeah. Oh, you, the pig didn't have to. Oh, the pig wouldn't go around. Would he?
We picked them up first.
Oh, you did. Oh. Oh, that you wanted, for you wanted, and then the gleanings.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the pigs were
here. Yeah.
If there were apples, you didn't have to guide them. They would run from the big pen, open the door, out and shoot a dozen pigs. And away they'd go to the apple orchard. And there they would stomp themselves all day and day out. And sleep in the sun. And in the evening, I'd be back in the pen again.
That was a little more difficult. Well, I found out finally how you do it. You don't chase a pig. You have to have them chase you, in a sense. You have a little food you bang or something.
They know that when they get back to their pen, it's going to be slops.
Yeah. Well, I know. I remember my aunt getting together the slops and then the slopping it in the trough.
When the creamery came, I don't remember what happened before that creamery came, because that was all our milk went to the creamery. Slops and the skim milk came home.
Oh.
The creamery was
up for McCandless. It says creamery on it, the Amargo McClintock?
Yes, right across the road. It was a creamery. And it was a great, wonderful thing when that was built. And the farmers in the neighborhood took their milk there and separated.
And it all separated.
All
and then
separated.
You still got your...
Then the cans of milk came back to our pig troughs.
Uh-huh. And then, of course, you got your own cream. But it was all done instead of done at home. You did it there.
That's right.
And then you
just got the butter there. Buttermilk came back to the pigs. Along with the greasy slops from the kitchen.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Now, the separation of cream and milk.
Well, that was done in the creamery.
That was done. But when you told me, you see, I remember in my aunt's place, they had a machine. No, they had something that separated, a milk separator. No, this is much later. Now, but so I was trying to say, you lay the pans on the floor, and then the cream just floats to the top naturally, and then you skim it off.
That's right.
And that's what they must have done 200 years ago.
Until this creamery was built, which must have been sometime in the early 1880s. Mm-hmm. Because when we went to school, Danny Elliott and Jesse Bell, Danny Elliott went to school, would take our milk in his big cans.
Yes.
Stormy weather, mostly. It was a mile to walk.
Yeah.
So Father and Jesse would always plan to go at the right time for school.
So
and we would take it to school, but we had to walk up. Often things didn't work out. We had to walk to school. But bad weather was a customary thing to be taken to school.
Well, I was trying to think, up in Solbury, was it someplace? School?
Yes.
Is it the little old school?
Little old school, that's where I got all of my education. All of education.
Oh, you were a teacher, too?
No. My sister taught me 6 months. We had work to do.
Yeah.
By that time, it sounded that I could have. Well, that was the only vocation for a young girl at that time. There was nothing else. You could be a seamstress and go around in people's houses.
Milliner.
Yes, a milliner. But they were usually employed in the stores also. Mm-hmm. Most of all, they were just a milliner. But the
teacher.
The teacher was the only thing, and I didn't have the wits to do that. And so, I of anything.
But as you say, on a farm,
there was plenty to
There's plenty to do, especially when you didn't have any brothers. And you baked almost, did you have separate sort of special days for baking like they used to, you know, that old nursery rhyme, or was it, did you sort of bake all the time?
Some things, bread.
Sour milk or sourdough? You mean in the sand?
No, that wasn't. Had, instead of having an yeast cake,
yeah,
we raised that and kept our own yeast.
Yeah, that's.
It didn't taste the yeast.
No,
not like sourdough.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of making sourdough today. Oh. It's rising now. Sort of all in a big pan and just shaped the things.
Four of those. If we ate, twice a week, we would be able to buy two.
Which you hoped you could do. Well, you know how the kids always thought that soft, doughy, sort of tasteless stuff was so much better, too.
Oh, absolutely.
They always liked someone else's sandwiches better than they liked their own. I know my kids, I make my bread almost all the time now, quite a bit when they were there. They thought that other bread was just dreamy.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, more now, because I have, you know, more time. More people, I read a funny, a little thing, that one of the in things these days, you know, they say what is in and what is out. Well, one of the in things these days is to make bread. But I haven't made bread all my life.
We are so little.
We don't use much breads, but now that I have the deep freeze, I make maybe three loaves, put two in, or give one away, or, you know, that sort of thing. And I like, I buy the flour up at most of it. Well, I've even used in syrup soda that unbleached, but I like that, like to get that hard white flour, the winter wheat flour, or I get the whole wheat. I have whole wheat rye and that combinations.
Well, when we lived in New York, Lizzie Betts.
B-E-T-T?
B-E-T-T.
Yeah.
She was older than I was. She was even older than my sister. When we moved to New York, she and I were very good friends.
She was a Quaker. Yeah. Yes.
She and her mother lived down on Main Street. And I always made bread. My father and I lived here for years, 10 years. I made bread. She was very fond of homemade bread, so I would give her a little. And I'd go to call her. I'm not taking any more bread. As a kid, it's just too much. So of course, I love to buy a loaf. That would appear when I said, yes, I would. I don't sell a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept track. And selling one loaf out of the
three or four that I made, mm-hmm. bought materials for it.
Oh, well, that's very
That's it. And it's still the same ratio.
I imagine, I've been trying to think of that too. Of course, I still think I make, I mean, I do all right if I make
it. Oh, yes, he does. And if he sold one loaf, he wouldn't have to pay it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where did you live then in New Hope?
Next to, just below Dr. Craig's own house.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the house that he bought, I think, and rent. Yes. As an investment, I don't know.
It was a beautiful porch.
A lovely house.
Oh, it was lovely. Mm-hmm. But we had a lovely porch out of it. Do you remember the porch or not?
Yeah, he took that off.
That was part of the house. We lived there 7 times.
Well, you know, the porch is... Oh, I wonder if they're going to come back, but I remember... I think they're the greatest joy.
Oh,
my goodness.
Not very long ago, I read an article about the obsolete porch. That's ridiculous. Of course, every house must have a porch somewhere. And then I commenced to look around, and no modern house has a porch.
They take them off. Yes, and as you're right, no modern house that they build. They have,
patios,
but there's something about the height. Well, it's maybe old time, but you know, it's that you're on the main street, you can watch things go, you know, people go by, and you're high enough up. It's cleaner, I think,
If
it rains, you're protected.
If it's sunny, you can go to the other corner.
Yeah, and they can have one of these, you can have swings. Oh, I think we have a screened-in porch. We just eat on it. Like last night, we sat on it, you know, and it got a little cool by the time we had to eat, but we are out there all, we don't use the front part of the house. I mean,
never use the dining room.
No.
We just have a table out on that porch, and that's where we don't let me forget. I have a note for the top.
Okay.
Safe dancing.
All right. He's off to Philadelphia.